And Insight with Ellie Taylor as she goes off to the fringes of comedy and explains why billionaires are a good thing, with a little help from the man who curates the Sunday Times Rich List. That's after this.
Good morning.
Start your day.
If you need a bit of audio sunshine, don't worry, we have got you covered.
The Six Music Breakfast Show with Lauren Laverne.
Putting the music together as we go, which is, for us, part of the fun.
Music beyond the mainstream.
You can really hear that beautiful analogue production. Some of our favourites and some brilliant selections courtesy of the Six Music listeners.
The Six Music Breakfast Show with Lauren Laverne.
Weekday mornings from 7:30.
Listen on Sounds.
Six Music.
Now on Radio 4, the finale of Ellie Taylor's Safe Space.
Welcome to Ellie Taylor's Safe Space!
Hello and welcome to Safe Space with me, Ellie Taylor. This is the programme that allows me to unleash one controversial opinion each episode, but crucially, consequence-free, as I'm doing this in the sanctity of my very own safe space. Thanks, Radio 4. Thanks, BBC. Thanks, Noel Edmonds. I assume he's in charge for some reason. No idea why. We are, of course, here with our beautiful Radio 4 studio audience. Listen to that organic cheer, which they did of their own volition and not because I raised my hand and looked at them pleadingly. So these may be controversial opinions, but they're not awful. You know, they're a bit awful, but they're not like awful, awful. Like, I'm not going to say something unforgivable. Like, I think Matt Hancock should be given a knighthood. Because no one believes that should happen, not even Matty himself. The only way that should be allowed to happen is if he agrees to lose the first two syllables of his name. Then we can add a sir to it. Sir Cock sounds about right, doesn't it? Anyway, I digress. This is the final episode of the series, and what fun we've had, I know, over the past few weeks. I thought this week we should go out with a bang. No, not literally, sir. Put your trousers back on, thank you. So sit back and listen to my controversial opinions from the sanctity of your own homes, knowing that I am safe in this space for one more week. And joining me, as he has done across the series, is my loyal friend, my BBC-appointed straight white man. It's only flipping Robin Morgan.
Hello, everyone. Hello, Ellie. You are my best friend.
Aww. Are you sad it's the final episode?
I am, actually, yeah.
Oh, yeah, so am I. Did you know we actually get Arts Council funding for you being on here?
Because I'm a straight white man?
Yeah. Yeah, there aren't enough of you around. Is it tough to be you?
It's very tough to be me.
What's the hardest thing about being you, Robin?
Oh, people often tell me I look like their friend who is also a white man with glasses.
Goodness me, and for just £3 a month, we can get Robin some contact lenses. Robin Morgan, everybody! Well, that is quite enough of Robin for a lifetime. So let's pivot and chat to our beautiful studio audience here at the BBC Radio Theatre. And they are beautiful, aren't they, Robin?
They are, although that man's not put his trousers back on yet.
Now, before the show, we asked the people in this very room what their most controversial opinion is. Will we live to regret asking that question? There's only one way to find out. Let's dive in.
Janelle's controversial opinion is, I really don't think that men should be congratulated after every task they do. As a woman, if I announced every time that I did anything, nothing would ever get done.
Janelle, that's sensational. What things really get your goat when men are congratulated for them?
It's mainly housework tasks. Like, oh, just to let you know, I've done the hoovering. Ooh, well done. I do the hoovering every day. Yeah, it's kind of like house jobs and those things that as a woman you do day in, day out, every day, and never announce that you've done them.
Emotional labour, thank you very much. Yes. Have you got a partner?
Yep.
Are they with you?
Yep.
Partner's name is?
Steve.
Steve. Steve, have you done the hoovering lately?
No.
What have you? Have you got anything you would like to have a shout out about? Because Janelle obviously doesn't want to celebrate what an amazing man that you are.
I iron.
Oh my God.
Janelle feels like she has something to say to this.
We have the odd blue job. And that is one of them.
Blue job? All right, Steve, you've done the hoovering really well. What are blue jobs in your house?
Blue jobs are the boy jobs. So we have maybe two, three.
And what are they?
Ironing, put the bins out. Typical blue jobs, really.
OK. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that with the group. OK, this is from Jason. Pensioners shouldn't be allowed in supermarkets at weekends. Week to shop. They just get in the way. Give me a yell if you're a pensioner in the room. Talk to us about this.
I just get in the way.
Get in the way of society or just in a supermarket?
Doddering around.
He said doddering. How old are you?
53.
Enjoy those Saturdays in Tesco's, my friend. Any pensioners, do you want a right of reply? Anyone? Yes, woman in the front row got a stick out. Absolutely gorgeous. OK, any other sort of groups of people in society that you've got?
Let's not go down that.
So, lady in the front row who put a stick in the air, do you go shopping at the week? You are a pensioner, I'm guessing.
I am a pensioner.
And do you often go shopping at the weekend?
Definitely.
OK.
And even if I didn't, I would now.
OK. We found a new leader. Thank you, Jason. You're awful. Thank you.
This next one is from Dante. Dante says that families with toddlers should have a special sound-insulated zone on a plane. He continues, could also use this area as an alternate sentence to community service, brackets 2-hour flight minimum. Dante, hey.
Hello.
Why do you hate toddlers on planes?
Bit loud, innit?
Yeah, fair enough. Dante, everybody!
How old are you, Dante?
18.
OK. Not that long ago, mate, that you were a toddler. Who are you with tonight?
My mum.
OK. Can I speak to your mum? Can you... Hi, Dante's mum.
Hello.
What do you think of what he's just said to the nation?
Well, to be honest, yeah, I think he's right.
Well, how was Dante as a toddler? Was he a good boy?
Oh, he was brilliant. He was a darling. Honestly.
I'm sure he was wonderful. And did you ever do long flights with him?
4 hours, maybe.
4 hours. And he was a good boy?
Oh, yes.
OK, very good. Great.
How much Calpol did you give him beforehand?
Dante, thank you for sharing with the group. Thank you. I am delighted that that is the last time we have to do that in this series. Thank you very much for all your controversial opinions. But now you've shown me yours, it's only fair I show you mine. For the final time this series, I've brought with me a controversial opinion which I am willing to share with the world. And it's time to unleash this week's. Before I do, I should preface it with this. I'm aware we're living in a time when inequality is rife. And over the last few years, the gap between rich and poor has grown ever greater. Society is crumbling apart at the seams. That being said, my controversial opinion this week is... I think billionaires are actually a good thing. Yeah, pretty spicy take from Ellie Taylor, right? Robin, initial thoughts?
I don't think a single person is going to agree with you.
No, British people love billionaires. They're so cute and fluffy and they're man's best friend. Oh, no, that's dogs, isn't it? That's dogs. No, but billionaires, I reckon a few people will agree. Shall we find out?
This ought to be very, very good.
Okey-dokey. This is where we find out what our studio audience think. The people in this room are a cross-section of society. They have been meticulously selected from an intensive process, by which I mean they filled out the details on a form and were free on a Wednesday night. Audience, in a few moments, you will vote on whether or not you agree with me. Remember, this is a genuine experiment. We are funded by the British Sociological Association.
Legally, I should say that's not true.
And you will be voting in the most scientific way possible, using keypads that are connected to your heart rate.
That's absolutely not happening.
When we will present this data to the relevant authorities. So, let's do it. Please, using your keypads, vote now if you agree that billionaires are actually a good thing. And vote now if you disagree with that statement. Right, we're getting all this data. It's being uploaded to the mainframe.
Do you have any idea what you're saying?
Not often, no. No, I don't. Robin, do you have the results?
I do, Ellie. I can reveal that 1% of people agree with you and think that billionaires are a good thing, which means 99% disagree.
Right then, an uphill task ahead, but that's never stopped me before. I like a challenge. Did you know, Robin, that I had actually never danced professionally before Strictly?
Yes.
Right, OK, I've got my work cut out then. But we'll have another vote later on in the show after I've spent some time laying out my argument. So, billionaires, why do I think they're a good thing? Well, for one, it gives us something to aim for, doesn't it? Anyone can be a billionaire. All you've got to do is pull yourself up by your bootstraps, head down, work hard, occasionally inherit a fortune from your wealthy parents, and shoot for the stars!
What was that bit in the middle? Inherit a fortune.
Oh, did you hear that? Oh, that is a shame. Yes, according to Forbes, 33% of the richest people in America inherited wealth from their parents.
So 67% were self-made?
Yes, they were. Self-made, like myself. Did you know, though, I actually come from very humble beginnings?
I did not know that, no.
Yep, I left school at 16 and I sold TV aerials out the back of a van. And then with £100 of post office savings, I set up my own computer company, which I called Amstrad.
Ellie, I don't think...
Yes, the name was based off of my initials.
I think you're talking about...
Alan Sugar Trading.
Lord Alan Sugar.
Oh, that's Alan Sugar's backstory, isn't it?
Yeah, but yeah.
Oh, that's a shame. But why is The Apprentice so successful, Robin? Well, because every series, all those people strive to be what Alan Sugar is.
But how many of those candidates actually become billionaires?
Well, I don't have those numbers on me right now.
Because every episode's the same, isn't it? They all get a wake-up call at 6 a.m. and someone says, Lord Sugar wants you to meet him on the other side of London in 4 minutes.
Yeah. And then they have to do their makeup and hair in 2 minutes and then jump in 16 SUVs each.
And then they arrive and Karen and Claude are there, like bodyguards, just so angry all the time.
So angry. Then Lord Sugar turns up saying, I suppose you're wondering why we're meeting here at a racetrack.
And then he tangentially introduces the task. That's because these horses will one day be in a lasagna. Your task is to open an Italian restaurant.
And then they split into two teams of Britannia and Enron, and they are inevitably terrible at everything. Then one of them gets fired in a job interview process.
How bad do you have to be in an interview to be fired in the interview?
And rather than saying, why was I in charge of making bechamel sauce? I'm an inventor. They then walk away with their tails between their legs, holding a sad wheelie suitcase before turning back to the person who's just fired them and saying,
thank you for the opportunity, Lord Sugar.
Is why billionaires are a good thing, because without them, we wouldn't have that to watch.
It's quite a strong argument, to be fair.
Thank you.
But why are we talking about Alan Sugar? He's not a billionaire, is he?
He is actually, Robin.
Really? The Amstrad man?
Yeah. I didn't realise they were so popular. But they do get a bad rap, billionaires, don't they? People think they're all evil, but there must be some nice ones. I mean, Bill Gates, he seems like a decent guy. Helped create one of the first personal computers.
Very much the American Alan Sugar, I feel.
I feel like he'll be thrilled with that comparison. Okay, here's a question for you. What do Bill Gates, Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos have in common?
They're all billionaires.
Well, obviously, Robin, that's what we're talking about. What else?
I don't know. They all went to Jeffrey Epstein's island.
Robin! Robin, you cannot say that. Only some of them did. According to Forbes, in 2022, there were 2,668 billionaires in the world, which is 97 fewer than in 2021. Imagine being a billionaire and then being downgraded to just a multimillionaire. You'd be gutted.
Do you think all the other billionaires take the mick out of them?
Yeah, for sure. They'd probably have kicked out the group chat.
You think they're in a group chat?
Yeah, 100%. Billionaires love other billionaires. They only hang out with each other, and I'll prove it. Are there any billionaires in the audience? See, exactly, they're all chilling on one of their private islands.
How do billionaires stay wealthy, Ellie?
Well, reportedly, in many cases, by not paying tax through whatever legal loopholes they can find. It's commonplace for some bosses to claim they earn a salary of £1. £1! I know, imagine being the first ever person to do that. Hello, come in.
Hello, I'm a billionaire.
Oh, I know. How can I help?
Well, as mentioned, I'm a billionaire, and I'd very much like to keep it that way.
And you thought I, as a financial advisor in the Cook Islands, might be able to help?
Well, yes. Anything I can do?
Well, taxes-wise, I could do a flourish here and there and suggest your annual salary is actually...
Like £100 a year?
Oh, no, £1 a year, I thought. A quid.
£1? Isn't that taking the mick?
Yeah, probably right. 50p?
Perfect.
Legally, I should say that's not based on anyone in particular, but there are only 2,668 billionaires in the world, so you work it out.
Fun fact, out of those 2,668, guess how many are women?
Oh, I don't know how many.
327, that's 12%.
Oh, is that a fun fact?
No, do you still think billionaires are a good thing?
Well, yeah. Some things are just more male-dominated.
Oh, like mechanics or electricians.
Well, I was thinking serial killers.
Right.
But, you know, those things too. Look, I reckon anyone criticising billionaires are just jealous.
No, I think there are some genuine reasons to criticise.
Jealous! You are just jealous!
Who am I jealous of?
Elon Musk.
Oh, yeah, really jealous of him. He's doing way better than me. He's been divorced 3 times. I've not been divorced once yet.
Robin, sometimes that's the best thing to happen in a marriage, actually. Take Jeff Bezos, for example. Jeff Bezos looking like the happiest egg in the egg box. His wife divorced him and got billions in the settlement. She gave loads of it to charity and then married a science teacher.
Oh, you do love to see that.
I know. Mackenzie Scott last year gave away $2 billion to various charities on the same day her ex, Jeff Bezos, claimed it was hard to give money away.
Do you think that was planned?
I think it is the sassiest thing I've ever heard of. Forbes reported that Bezos has given away $2.4 billion in his lifetime, while Scott's given away 4 times that, $12.8 billion in just under 2 years since their divorce.
I have a question.
Go on.
Do you think she uses Amazon to get deliveries, or just too awkward?
Why would it be awkward? Bezos isn't delivering the products on a little scooter, is he? Whizzing around on a Vespa with a helmet that perfectly fits his eggy head.
Some people do really like billionaires, you know, your Bezoses, your Elon Musks. I don't really get the Elon Musk thing.
I think it's his confidence, you know, people aspire to be rich, confident. He's wealthy, he believes in himself.
I'd believe in myself if I inherited a life-changing fortune.
These guys, they're a cult of personality, aren't they? There are thousands of billionaires, but we don't know most of their names. The ones we do know get a lot of stick, like Mark Zuckerberg. He seems like a fun guy, he's definitely a human being. And these people create things like James Dyson, expert in vacuums and hand dryers and hair dryers. Basically, one of the main experts in wind and blowing.
I'm not sure that's how he'd like to be described.
Fine, he is the expert in wind and blowing. And then he went for fans, hot fans, cold fans, hair dryers. The man's obsessed with air. Look, variety is the spice of life. Why shouldn't billionaires exist? I know I couldn't live without Amazon Prime next day delivery. Billionaires have created things that do help us in everyday life, so why shouldn't they exist? And that's one question I'm going to ask this week's guest. That's right, it's time for some backup. I'm about to bring on stage a man with a wealth of experience on this topic, no pun intended. It's the journalist who compiles the Sunday Times Rich List. Please welcome Robert Watts. Robert, thank you so much for joining us. So you compile the Sunday Times Rich List. Are you ever tempted to just put yourself on it just for a laugh?
I think my wife would be quite surprised.
Can you explain what exactly the Rich List is and how many Richards are on there?
So, we started it in 1989, so this will be the 35th year, and it tracks the wealth of the 250 richest people in the UK, or the Brits overseas as well. You would have needed, Ellie, this year £600 million to get on it into last year. So these are the very, very wealthiest people.
Oh, if I'd only have got through to the semi-final of Strictly, I would have... God damn it!
Hamza! How easy is it to become a billionaire? I'm just asking for a friend, me. I'm asking for a friend.
Well, being born into the right family does help a bit. The Duke of Westminster, 2026, when he inherited his £9 billion family empire. And that's what we used to see in the Rich List. It was all about luck. It was about inherited wealth. But what we've seen is a big shift in the last 20 years in particular, as we've seen a lot more self-made wealth. That doesn't mean these people aren't lucky. They're incredibly lucky. I mean, take this guy, Johnny Bouffarhat, the youngest self-made British billionaire that we've ever had. He was tinkering around on an app in 2019, trying to make a video conferencing app, which he thought would be quite helpful. When did he decide to launch it? March 2020. And suddenly, lots of investors come along and say, hey, we'll buy a big slug in your business, and bingo, he's a billionaire.
How old is he?
He's 28.
28?
No.
And that app was called Amstrad Video Calling. Mad.
What is the app? Is it Zoom?
Hopin. Very, very similar to Zoom. Hopin.
It wasn't Zoom.
It wasn't Zoom.
No way!
Has anyone heard of Hopin? No! Bullshit! I don't buy it. He's fudged his way in. Now, I have noticed there are more male billionaires than female billionaires on the list. Why do you think that is?
Because women are far too sensible. Because basically what happens with these self-made guys in particular is that they rely on risk. Is that what you see with particularly the self-made rich listers, is they're doing okay into their 20s and 30s, and then in their 40s, they roll the dice and they take out big loans if they're building a property empire or something like that. A lot of them fall on their face, but those who get lucky don't. And there's a lot of research out there to suggest that women are much more sensible and much more risk-averse and much more reasonable. And that's one of the big differences that we see with billionaires, is that they're people who just relentlessly keep on going, when a lot of us would frankly be on the sun lounger. We would have retired, spend more time with our friends and family and just have a damn good time. But these guys are still pinging out of bed at 5 a.m. in their 70s, 80s and beyond sometimes.
Yeah. Do people like lobby to be on the list? Do they sort of ring you up and be like, hi, I think you actually neglected me. I'm actually very rich. Would you like to come round for a Jeroboam of something very expensive?
Are you about to do that?
Absolutely not.
We have everything. We have people trying to talk their way onto the list, off the list, up the list, down the list, the lot.
Why down the list?
Down the list. Have they got a divorce coming up? Are they having a row with the tax man? I'm intrigued.
I have a three-part question, Robert.
Uh-oh.
Who's the richest person you've ever met? Where did you meet them? And how weird were they?
I mean, there are weird places they take you to. I met a guy who wanted me to see his car collection. So I was imagining, you know, 5, 10 cars, maybe something like that. I turn up at this compound. There are 200 cars in this compound, classic cars, Rolls Royces. And then he says to me, do you want to see the other one? And I'm thinking, other car? No, other compound.
What do they want you to, like, when they show you their wealth in that way, are they trying to get a reaction, or is it just to prove that they should be on the list?
It could be very elegant gloating, couldn't it? Yeah, I'm not sure it is. I think with some of them, this is like their equivalent of, I've made it, you know, I'm all right, I've done okay. And a lot of them have backstories which are pretty striking, so being told by teachers, or, right, you know, just say, you'll never achieve anything with their life, or stuff like that, or a failed marriage early on, or careers that seemingly went nowhere, and they quit and started their own businesses, and they're trying to right some wrong. And they feel popping out on the rich list, that's their badge of honour.
In a way, it's a bit like a man telling us he's done something. And for that, he wants a blue job, I would say.
Do we rely on them, economy-wise? Do they prop us up, or could we, in theory, just spread
it? That's a really mixed question, and I'm not sure about it. I've been doing this 8 years now, and I'm not entirely certain. Look, there's some of them who you can see, they are creating jobs here. They are creating businesses, or they're spending cash on stuff that you wouldn't want the government spending money on. So James Dyson, who you mentioned earlier, blew £500 million on a car. He didn't buy a car. He spent it on developing electric vehicles. And it was written off, the whole of it. You know, that's money down the drain from his point of view. Yeah, he used a bit of the technology and other stuff. But would you rather it was a billionaire knocking that money away, or the government? You know, money that should be going on schools and hospitals and all that. Yeah, it's a mix. It's a pretty mixed picture, I'd say.
Oh, crikey. How many super yachts have you been on?
Not enough.
Thank you so much. I could talk to you all day. Give it up for Robert Watts, everybody. What would you do if you're a billionaire, Robin?
How would you know I'm not a billionaire?
Your shoes?
Fair enough. I'd go on loads of holidays and I'd give some to charity.
Only some? Wow, rude.
Well, this feels like when you're about to buy a lottery ticket and before the draw your mind wanders and you start thinking how you'll spend the money. Oh, I'll do this and I'll do that. And it's all possible at that point, isn't it? It's still worth something. It has potential. Same with scratch cards. On the day my son was born, I bought a scratch card and won £100. The day my daughter was born, I did the same thing. Bought a scratch card and won £5. And I was like, well, that's the gender pay gap, isn't it? That's a clear example.
I feel sorry for billionaires.
How could you feel sorry for a billionaire?
Because they don't live normal lives. Do you think Jeff Bezos knows his sort code and account number? Do you think Jeff Bezos has ever checked his balance at a cash point, taps that little button by accident, and the world's longest receipt gets printed out? Jan Gerber, one of the founders of an ultra-wealthy rehab practice in Zurich, said that if you put a billionaire in a group setting, even with well-off middle-class people, they will not be able to relate to each other.
Still not feeling sorry for them, mate.
Imagine if you're in the top 0.1% of the wealthiest individuals around, that means you cannot relate to 99.9% of the rest of humanity. That's enough to turn you into
a supervillain.
Yes! But what's the alternative, Robin? Have you thought about what would happen if we didn't have billionaires?
There'd be more wealth parity across the globe.
Oh, Robin. Young, naive Robin.
I'm 33.
Young, naive, annoying Robin.
What point are you trying to make?
If we didn't have billionaires, we wouldn't have billionaires shortbread.
Oh, no.
We'd be stuck with millionaire shortbread. What? You expect me to eat millionaire shortbread like I'm Oliver Twist? No, thank you.
Ellie, for balance, let's take a look at the other side.
Balance? What, am I on the BBC?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, fine. Okay, billionaires. Why might they not be a good thing? Well, I guess for perspective, let's remind ourselves the difference between a million and a billion. So 1 million seconds is 11.5 days. 1 billion seconds is 31 years. How good is that, right? Mind-blowing. For context, King Charles III only has a wealth of 600 million.
Did you say only?
I did. Pauper. There's a huge difference between billionaires and millionaires, but most of us assume they're similar because, you know, the words rhyme.
That's true. That's why I always get confused between Prince William and Will.i.am.
The richest 1% own almost half the world's wealth. It's almost impossible to comprehend. No wonder they're all trying to shoot off into space and conquer Mars. They want more. They're greedy little piggies. All this wealth they've accrued, it's basically hoarding, isn't it? Maybe, here's a solution, if billionaires want to hold onto their cash, they should physically have to keep it somewhere. Physical money, like piles of it, silver and gold.
Like pirate treasure.
Yeah, like pirate treasure. Then they'll really see if they want to keep it or not. Lugging around a whole chest of treasure, let's see how much they want it.
I'd like to see that. World's strongest billionaires.
Maybe that's why they've amassed so much wealth. And with wealth comes power. Billionaires can influence culture and society indirectly, but also directly within politics. Around a dozen world leaders are billionaires. In China's parliament, there are about 100 members who are billionaires.
Imagine that.
I know. Like 100 Chinese billionaire Jacob Rees-Moggs.
Scary.
Very scary. But maybe putting power and wealth in the hands of the 1% is fine if it means we get faster hand dryers and next day delivery. Who's to say? I tell you who's to say. It's for my audience to say. Let's see if I've managed to convince any of you lovely non-billionaires that billionaires are actually a good thing. So, people of the BBC Radio Theatre, the B's stand for billionaire, by the way, let's all have another vote right now. Pick up those keypads. We bought them from Amazon.
No, we got those from Amstrad.
Oh. OK, if you agree and think billionaires are a good thing, vote now. And if you don't agree, think the billionaires are a good thing, vote now. OK, here we go, the final vote of the final episode of the series. Will I come out on top? I've actually bet my life savings on this in the hope I'll become a billionaire, so quite a lot at stake. OK, Robin, what is the damage?
2% agree and 98% disagree. You've won over 1% of the audience.
That's my billionaire laugh, by the way. Oh, my God. That's amazing. I've still got a lot of people to win over, though. OK, fair enough. Maybe billionaires aren't actually that great. Maybe putting all the money in the hands of a few people isn't the best way to live our lives. Maybe they aren't a good thing. But I stand by my next statement. You know who is actually a good thing? Trillionaires. And in this next part of the show...
Ellie, we're out of time.
Oh, damn it! OK, well, that is it for this series of Ellie Taylor's Safe Space. I am off to apply to be on The Apprentice. Thank you. Goodbye.
Ellie Taylor's Safe Space was written by and starred Ellie Taylor and Robin Morgan. It was produced by Georgia Keating and is a BBC Studios production.
And you can find the full series of Ellie Taylor's Safe Space over on BBC Sounds.
Anxiety and attics, these two A words, certainly go together.
Sometimes strange, sometimes scary. What's our fascination with attics?
The idea of attics and memory are very intertwined.
It's a part of our homes we don't often go into, but which can store personal mementos and offer a peek into the past.
When you sit in an attic like this one, you can actually sense the 16th century.
Climb up into the attic with me, Rachel Hurdley, to discover what this mysterious part of the home tells us about ourselves. The Hidden History of the Attic on Radio 4 and BBC Sounds. This Sunday lunchtime.